Hey everyone, hope you guys are having a good afternoon, morning, night, wherever y'all are at, whenever you're watching this. Today we have a very, I don't want to say exciting because it's a very sad topic, but we have some very special guests tonight. The father of Caleb Harris, and we have a few other guests as well who we'll introduce in a second. If you aren't familiar with Caleb's story, well, we're going to change that tonight. But you can also go check my TikTok out, Nina Glass, 716 Girl in ATL. Definitely follow them. Also, make sure to follow. You can see what's scrolling across the bottom of the screen at Find Caleb Harris. That is the family's account. That's really the only social media they're doing. It's very important that we grow that account. So please, you know, go there, follow it, do it now, you know, before this all gets started. Anyway, so we're going to get started right now. I'm going to bring Randy Harris on, and we'll kind of go from there. Hey, how are you guys doing tonight?
Good, Justin.
Good, Justin. Thank you.
So I'll let y'all introduce yourself, but real quick, this is Randy Harris, who is Caleb's father, and Tony Matheson. Tony's a friend slash spokesperson. You wear a lot of hats, Tony. So I'll let you guys kind of introduce yourselves.
I'm Randy Harris, and Caleb Harris's dad, and this is one of my spokespeople and just right-hand guy who's been with me through thick and thin through this. And we're looking forward to getting Caleb out there. Go ahead.
You can say something, Tony.
No, this isn't about me. I mean, I'm a good friend and co-worker of Randy's. And I was kind of helping behind the scenes to begin with. And then he asked me to get more involved in helping him with some of the interviews and being more of a spokesperson so I could kind of filter what we were doing as far as media and social media, especially trying to get more of a national exposure instead of local exposure. So that's kind of where I fit in.
And you've been doing a great job. We've had a few conversations and, you know, I'm glad that you're there to help him out.
Glad to be here.
We also have a couple other guests real quick. I'm going to bring on, first, a lot of y'all, if you're on TikTok, you probably know Nina Glass. Nina, your mic's muted. Okay, you're good. So one thing before I'm not going to let her toot her own horn. I mean, she can, but she has been boots on the ground. We have kind of crossed paths a little bit, but not ever really spoke before tonight. But she has been, you know, she's in Texas. She's been going searching for Caleb. Like when I say boots on the ground, I mean boots on the ground. Like for the last several weeks, you've been doing that. But why don't you introduce yourself, your channel, where people can follow you, all that good stuff.
Hey, everybody. This is Nina Glass with Search and Rescue San Antonio, Texas, Inc. My TikTok is Nina Glass 1. I have been down helping Randy and Tony trying to find Caleb since March 7th.
All right. Yeah, and like I said, she's been boots on the ground, which is incredible. And then we have one other special guest I'm going to bring on. We have Cindy. Cindy is known on TikTok as 716 Girl in ATL. Her and I have been friends, mutuals for, I don't know, a long time now. Really, really great creator. Know her well, high levels of integrity. So I am not surprised that, you know, she's part of this case and helping, Mr. Harris with everything. So, Cindy, you want to say something real quick?
Yeah. Thanks, Justin. And, you know, I've been a part of following Caleb's story really since the beginning. And like I told Tony and Randy, when this first started, you probably didn't see me do much on Riley because I felt like there was so much coverage on Riley's case that that's how I picked up Caleb's, because I just didn't think that there was enough coverage on Caleb. So I'm really glad to see that you and other creators are starting to pick up Caleb's story because it's long overdue. So thanks for doing the story, Justin. And you know, I love you. Absolutely. I think you're super awesome and ethical and great. And so I'm really glad you're doing the story. And Nina kicks butt. I don't have to say anything about Nina
because
everyone knows how awesome.
Yeah, what she's been doing has been fantastic. I know that you're on live like all the time, you know, with these stories and these updates, Nina. So I mean, you and Missing in USA Dan, who Dan's pretty great too. So you know, really just great creators, people who are doing God's work here with getting the words out on people. So definitely, like I said, give these creators a follow, support what they're doing. That being said, yeah, I did do one video on Caleb a while ago, and the sad part about Caleb's story, which is why if you know about it, then you know, but if you don't know about it, we're going to change that right now, is that he went missing between the time that Sebastian Rogers went missing and Riley Strain went missing. Both of those cases were in Nashville, which is where I'm out of, and so they really took the media spotlight, whereas honestly, and we're going to talk about it, but Caleb's disappearance is very odd. It's like he vanished without a trace. And he definitely deserves a lot of attention. There definitely needs to be more eyes on it, and social media needs to be doing what social media does best and getting it out in the public eye, lending support, getting it out to anybody who's in the area where he's at, so that if there is some kind of a lead that the police or the family has not talked to or heard of yet, that they can have that lead. And that's really what this is kind of all about. So with that said, I will shut up, and I'll put the spotlight on you guys. And if you don't mind, Mr. Harris, just kind of, I guess, start off, let's talk a little bit about, you know, Caleb, you know, as a kid, you know, your son, and then, you know, kind of everything that's going on, you know, bringing people who don't know anything about this case up to speed, if you don't mind.
Sure. Caleb is a kid. Wow. He was a lot of fun. He is. I mean, he's just an incredible kid. I can tell you a million stories that are just, you know, all about Caleb and loving being outdoors and being active and active in school and sports and just a great, you know, he is just an all around good kid. And, you know, graduated from high school, moved on to Corpus Christi, Texas, to go to Texas A&M University and majoring in environmental science. And the goals would be graduate with a degree in environmental science and possibly become a you know, game warden or something along those lines. He's just a typical 21-year-old college kid. He loves to hunt, loves to fish. He loves the outdoors. He has a very tight-knit, close group of friends and that he's grown up with. And so he's just an incredible kid. I mean, he's my son. I love him. And what else can I say? I mean, he's phenomenal. And I have a daughter and my wife, and they are my rock. And they've been by my side 100%. We're missing them because I'm here. But we're working hard to try to find Caleb. We just lost sound.
Oh, no, that was me. I forgot to unmute my mic. That was totally me. So he went missing March 4th, correct?
Yes.
So, you know, obviously within reason, what you're able to say without, you know, compromising any part of the investigation, what can you tell us about that night that he went missing? What you guys know as far as a timeline, and I guess basically where y'all are at up to now in that.
Timeline, we're continuing to. I had this off. Sorry.
No, you're good.
Figuring it out. So timeline. I'll just start with Sunday. A fun Sunday afternoon. With friends out fishing in the bay, doing what they love to do. And then just a normal Sunday afternoon doing that. I was texting Caleb back and forth about different fishing lures he's going to use the next day out in the bay. He's a very creature of habit. And just, we always text back and forth, you know, stuff that, different fishing videos, funny videos. Some of them are serious. Some of them are just learning. And then he's very targeted. And so he was, you know, picking out the lures and showing me different stuff that he feels like, you know, for the next day fishing. His mom had been down, you know, college student, has his mom down for the weekend. And, you know, they had been out to all the favorite fishing spots, showing her around and hanging out with the roommates and just, you know, having a good time. Later in the evening, he was playing a video game with a friend out of Colorado. And then one of the roommates came home with a new dog. And so they were really excited about this dog because, you know, they were ready to buy life jackets and go out and do, you know, had this dog would be like their fishing buddy, you know, going kayaking and stuff like that. So they were having a lot of fun with the dog. And the last video we saw of Caleb was out in the parking lot with the dog and his friends around 1 o'clock, and then about 2:44 he snapped a picture to my daughter of the dog, and then ordered Uber Eats for his lunch the next day. Again, creature of habit. I mean, just, you know, two Lunchables, apple pie, and a Red Bull. That was lunch once they get out on the boat or the kayaks. Then about 2:58 is when his phone was either turned off or went dead. And then that was the last anybody had you know, heard from him at that point. The ironic thing is that, you know, he didn't just walk away. I mean, he left his keys, left his wallet. You know, there's no fishing gear's missing. Nothing's missing. The truck's locked up in the front. Uber Eats was left on the front door. Nothing was right.
Yeah. So it's like I was saying, it's a very strange situation because at this point there's not that I've seen, at least there's no video out there, correct, or anything that shows, you know, even a hint of what could have happened. Correct.
Correct. Yeah.
Right. And I do want to, sorry, go ahead.
No, I mean, just, you're right. And we're still today begging everybody to look at their Ring cameras. There's got to be a camera out there or there, any kind of surveillance cameras, continue looking at them. And it could be, you know, from that 2:45 to, you know, 5-6 o'clock in the morning, keep on looking.
One thing that I do want to say, because you and I spoke earlier today before we did this, and Randy, I just really, I'm in awe of you on this because, I mean, one is I obviously don't envy what you're going through right now, but you've kept it so strong. He's kept it so strong for his family. He's keeping, you know, his wife and daughter, you know, because he's got a daughter who's still in high school. I'm trying to maintain as much normalcy as possible with that while still going down searching, still doing everything he's doing. And he's really just been burning the candle on both ends for weeks at this point. And I have a kid too. So, I mean, I know I'd be doing the same thing, but I know that what you're going through is not easy, but I just want to make sure that, you know, people know that, you know, how much you really have on your plate outside of just your child missing. It's a lot.
It is a lot, but I've got a lot of support too. You know, Tony's here, my wife, my daughter, my in-laws, my family. And really it's just been amazing the amount of support that we have from the local community here in Corpus Christi, as well as where we're from, New Braunfels, Texas. San Antonio is just, the communities have just been amazing, and the amount of people that, you know, lifting us up in prayer, lifting Caleb up in prayer, and just, you know, we have a lot of hope. We have a lot of hope. We have that parent gut feeling that, you know, we're going to see him soon, and he's out there. They're definitely a concern that maybe he's not in Corpus Christi. You know, he we don't know, but you know, the search has just been intense, and I got to thank, you know, Nina and all of the volunteers, that just untold amount of volunteers that we'll never be able to truly thank for being out here, from food to, you know, just, it's just been amazing.
So this is the question that I don't normally ask until the end, but I'm going to go ahead and ask you this now, because you do have a lot of people supporting, which is fantastic. And I know Nina has too, and we're going to bring Nina on in a little bit and have her talk about some of her search and what, you know, her team and her might be able to need, but what do you guys need to help y'all? Like supplies, anything. What do y'all need?
You know, I'll let Tony answer some of that. For me, it's just continued, okay, prayer, you know, continued prayer, support, and just continued awareness. See something, say something, call the tip line. You know, we have a reward out there. Y'all have seen that picture. That's very important. We just need help. We desperately need help.
So I'll jump in, Justin. Can you hear me okay?
Can hear you perfectly.
So we're working with Nina now, and we're going to, in the music business, they used to call it a ground team. You know, we're going to do kind of a street team with Nina. We're going to blanket a mile radius of the apartment complex with the new reward flyers, as well as we're going to start hitting San Antonio and some surrounding areas with flyers. That is a need to get the new reward amount out there, just continue to push awareness, keep his picture out there. But the biggest thing right now is that, you know, we've upped the reward now, and depending on how long this plays out, there's a possibility that reward will have to continue to go up. So we have, we've been blessed with people donating, but you know, as I sent you the GoFundMe earlier, I mean, we need to continue to raise money because we don't know if this is going to last into the late spring, the summer, if this is going to still be going on at Christmas time. And, you know, we're getting to a point where if we don't continue to push with the GoFundMe, then this is going to end up being a financial problem for Randy as well as an emotional problem. And that's the last thing we want.
I do want to say something too about, you know, the getting the flyers out. We actually have a lot of people, especially family members, that are very much engaged already, you know, going New Braunfels, Austin, Dallas, you know, every city in between. We definitely need help in other cities such as Houston, and just really all over the country. That's why we're pushing so hard for some national media coverage, because we need, you know, he's out there, and if he's not in Texas, he's somewhere, and we need as much awareness as possible out there nationally as well as locally.
Sorry, trying to get back up there with you. So for people who want to volunteer with y'all, be boots on the ground, what's the best way for them to get that information? People who want to help, like whether they're in San Antonio handing out flyers, people wanting to join the search, what's the best way for them to find out that information? Where is that updated?
Kind of like what you're doing. The flyer is all over social media on our page.
Okay.
It's on Facebook and other you know, social medias. Just grab it, print it out, and go. You know, that's going to be the quickest way to get it out. And we have several thousand of them printed already that we can get out to. Like, we're going to be giving Nina quite a bit of them. And again, friends and family and just people. The easiest way is, you know, print 10 of them and get them out.
So for your searching at this point, how much have y'all searched? I know I've heard helicopters. I know you've been on the ground. Maybe I should bring Nina in for part of this conversation, but how much have y'all?
Yeah. And I want Nina to talk about what she's done.
Yeah, let me bring her.
You know, we initially right off the bat, we had a pretty big search in the epicenter of the apartment complex, so that we had Texas Search and Rescue came down. They had their dogs. We had police cadets, police, and we did a massive ground search with a lot of college kids too. I mean, they really came out and just, there were hand-to-hand searches. The search and rescue team, dive team for Corpus Christi, came out and like the creek beds that are all around. They weren't dry, but they were just muddy. There's no flowing water. And so they, you know, they did hand-to-hand searches through all of that. And then we've all continued that, but that's when Nina came in and just, I mean, she's just amazing of the places and the rocks that she's turned over. So Nina, I mean, tell them what you've been doing. It's amazing.
I mean, when we originally came down, we normally start with a 3-mile radius of the last place he was seen, which would have been the apartments. And we hit every ground running. We went through ditches and tunnels and, you know, open areas, grassy areas, wooded areas, all that kind of stuff. I have an amazing group of generous volunteers that have given their time to help me down in Corpus Christi. They've been great. I really needed them. And then we expanded to 5 miles. So we went from 3 miles to 5 miles, and we've actually gone up as far as 10 and even 20 miles looking for Caleb. We did a water search the other day. Randy's been in a helicopter doing the helicopter searches. I mean, we've done everything we can possibly do with the landscape in that area. And now we're expanding out even further. And we'll continue to go as far as the family wants us to continue.
Let me ask you this. What does your team need? How can people support your team?
I mean, the basic thing for my team is, I mean, I just need help paying for lodging and my food. And the people in Corpus Christi have been doing a tremendous job feeding our team breakfast and lunch. They've done a phenomenal job. And the lodging is all I have to really take care of, and gas, you know, for my vehicle. But that's it. I don't need anything else.
How can people donate or get that money to you guys or your organization? What's the best way for them to find that?
They can either go to the Talk of Caleb Harris Facebook page, or they can go to the link tree in my TikTok.
Okay. And her TikTok is Nina Glass One. If you don't follow her, you definitely should. And so
501c3 nonprofit. So you donate through PayPal charity or whatever, you get a receipt. If you donate through any of the others, you just message me. I'll send you one.
So with everything that you guys have already done, I know you're expanding searches. Are you allowed to say like, what's the next step? Like, you know, I guess the next search is probably tomorrow, right? Or this week, but what's kind of the next area?
So Justin, if, just leave us all up there if you would.
Okay.
We're turning this into more of a ground campaign and the street team. We're going to hit the streets with flyers. So just so you understand kind of the workflow, we've been getting most of our leads through the Facebook group. It's missing Talk of Caleb Harris, correct, Nina? Isn't that the technical name?
Yes, sir.
And while before we move on, you know, we also need to thank Nicole for being the admin of that page. We need to thank Priscilla and Christine for being moderators. You know, the page has grown substantially, and you know, there has to be a lot of policing when you're dealing with a private family like this, a family that's strong in their faith. And I can tell you, I've been involved in that myself, and it's a full-time job. So Nina she's shaking her head because she knows that the craziness is real. So, so then we get the tips in, and then I vet the tips, the search areas, whatever. And then I get with Nina and give her direction. The reason we're moving to more of a street team is that we've gotten to the point where we're getting the same old leads, the same old search areas over and over again. And the amount of really good qualified leads are drying up, which is why we're pushing the reward and increasing the reward. So we want to get the reward out there, and we want to get tips through the tip line from the reward, because we feel like that, you know, the tips that are coming through Facebook, I mean, the amount of quality leads there is somewhat dried up.
Let me ask this question real quick. In regard to the reward, obviously you can see we're scrolling your GoFundMe. If people haven't noticed that, the GoFundMe link is there. And when we're done with this, I will also put it in the description so people can go click on it. If you want to donate, that is the verified GoFundMe. So you're safe to donate there. If people wanted to donate to help increase that award, would they still donate to that, or is there a separate place that they would need to call for that?
No, that's exactly where they would donate. So
okay.
We sent you our GoFundMe. There's also another GoFundMe. And not to get real personal, but essentially one of those is kind of a reward fund and the other one's kind of an expenses fund. One was set up by friends and family and church friends, and that's the larger one. The smaller one we set up is as Randy's coworkers. So we're trying to push the expense GoFundMe for people like Nina, people like other people we've brought in. And then, of course, you know, just existing 2.5 hours away from home. I mean, it's not cheap.
No, I know it can't be. A lot of people are asking if you guys have used geo for tracking at this point.
Geofencing?
Mm-hmm.
So the geo stuff that's been done, I mean, there's definitely some of that stuff going on. The police have been fairly tight-lipped about what they've been doing with that, but you know, when we talked to them about the availability of that, they certainly let us know that that was an option.
What we have right now is Corpus Christi Police, and then they brought in their specialists, which would be, you know, the Marshals, the FBI, Texas Rangers. And so they're working the case. And, you know, again, we don't get a lot of information, which is really hard. Because we don't know exactly what's going on, but that may be a good thing that we don't know, and we hope that they have some, you know, trying to find true north.
Okay, and I told Cindy, because in the comment section I said, if you see questions that you think are really good, pick them out and ask. So I think you might have said this before, but in case you didn't, people are asking about law enforcement. You know, what have they been doing that you're able to talk about? Obviously, we don't want to do anything to jeopardize the case. I believe you said they use dogs, but I guess they're asking that again. And if you know, all the apartments in his complex have been searched. So whatever order those y'all want to take.
Yes. The apartments have been searched, and there was a search team, several search teams there. And so, yes, the dogs were brought in on the third day. And then again, over the next week, with the best bloodhounds in the state of Texas out of Beeville Correctional. And again, they were not able to pick up any type of scent. Probably should have had them earlier than we did, but it's a process of bringing in, you know, just like TexSAR, you know, Texas Search and Rescue, that they have to be invited. And then we brought in EquiSearch as well. And again, they had to be invited. So, you know, we've asked for those groups to come in, and they were brought in. But you know, a lot of that is ground search, and I wouldn't say exhausted it, because we'll go wherever, if there's a lead, we're going to go, obviously. And we did that today, but, right now I think it's becoming a digital,
investigation.
Yeah. I think we're just looking for, as we are looking for some direction. And hopefully the authorities are doing the same, or maybe we don't know. Maybe they do have a direction, and they don't want to impede the investigation.
Let me ask you something, Justin. Would you,
of course,
you're a logical guy. You've been following a lot of these cases. Would you bring the cadaver dogs in first, or would you bring the bloodhounds in first?
I'd probably bring the bloodhounds in first if it were me.
That's not okay, what.
Yeah, I would bring the bloodhounds in, because I mean, even if there's, I don't know a ton about it, but even if there was a cadaver, you know, if there was a body, the bloodhounds would still pick up on that, I believe. Yeah,
especially in 24 to 48 hours.
But I think that, you know, really with what you're dealing with here, he vanished, right? So people don't just vanish, right? They're somewhere. So a bloodhound would hopefully be able to come in, because their ability to track is incredible. And you would hope that they would be able to pick up a scent. But I was actually talking to, and I'm not trying to, you know, kind of go with this, but the people I was talking to yesterday was a 20-year-old cold case. And somebody commented today, and I didn't know this, and we were talking about, like, you know, where the people could be, because there was construction going on the land at the time they disappeared, including a septic system that was installed but never used, and as well as concrete foundations being poured. And so we were talking about it, and somebody came in and said, I have bloodhounds. And even 20 years later, they can smell through concrete. They could smell underneath that thing. Even 20 years later, they could still pick up a scent. So my point is that, those are the dogs that you want right in, I would say. And has anybody brought in bloodhounds at this point, Ben?
Yeah, we did.
Okay.
We finally got the bloodhounds in. Again, they had to be invited. And they, you know, were able to find enough stuff to get the scents that they needed. They covered the apartment, and then we went out to an area where possibility of his phone might have been, and they covered that area as well.
And did they pick up anything of where he might have gone? I'm guessing probably not, because we would have heard about that. But.
Right. Yeah. No. It just, you know, that's almost 2 weeks into it. And it's just, we didn't have any rain, luckily. So if they could have caught something, they would have. But, you know, unfortunately, that whole area was like Grand Central Station. And so there's just nowhere that, you know, they could really find anything. And you know, you could tell that the bloodhound handlers and the warden from the prison was here too. And they were frustrated. They were real frustrated. They were hurting as well, because they just felt like, you know, they should have probably been in here a lot earlier.
Before we go further, one thing that I want to address, I've seen a lot of comments on this, and I know Cindy kind of pulled some out too. People are asking, and I'll handle this for y'all unless y'all want to jump in, but a lot of people are asking questions about the roommates and the Uber driver. And here's what I can tell you. The Uber driver was cleared. The roommates were cleared. These roommates were his friends. Mr. Harris is very confident that they are not involved in this. And I just don't look, we know that with these cases, we all are always looking for answers. We're wanting to find out, and our minds go places. But these are, you know, the roommates are kids. The Uber driver is just doing their job. And these, we don't want to do with anything where we're going to implicate them or start rumors about them and get their lives kind of turned upside down. Because, again, law enforcement, Randy is very satisfied with the fact that they aren't involved. So just want to address that.
Absolutely. We never really even question them at all because we know them. But yes, they've been through a lot to get to the point where the authorities are 100% satisfied that they don't have anything to do with it.
We spoke to one of the roommates today outside the apartment, and I can tell you the kid was broken.
Mm-hmm. I believe that they're his friends, guys. They're hurting too. And so, like I said, I don't really want them being drugged through the internet, you know, with people accusing them, because we've seen that happen in a lot of cases and it doesn't usually play out well. So
these are great kids. And we have a real tight group of kids down here from New Braunfels, and they've all grown up together, gone to school together. They're like brothers and sisters. And, you know, we know them very well. And, you know, you got to realize we just went through COVID, and, you know, these kids are like brothers and sisters, and, you know, my wife's a teacher, and, you know, these kids would end up at our house, you know, most of the time getting help on their schoolwork, you know, on their online schoolwork and stuff like that. And a lot of the boys, they get all their work done, and their social distancing was heading out to the river.
Yeah. So, yeah, and that's what I just want to make sure that people understood that, because you know how this kind of stuff can go. So I'm glad that you said that. I think that, you know, even you having those feelings really, really says a lot about them. A lot of questions we're getting apparently too. Also, where you all got the dog or dogs that came out?
The puppies is not a puppy. It's like a 2 years old. It was a friend of a family that couldn't keep the puppy or the dog. And it's just a little cute little, like a Bouchon, fluffy little dog. And she's beautiful. Her name is Jenny. And, you know, they had just gotten her that night. So that's why they were all out till the times that they were, because they were, you know, playing with the dogs.
And then on the same, similar with dogs too, same kind of hot topic, where what groups brought the search dogs in that y'all had? Are y'all able to say that?
Initially, Texas Search and Rescues, Texas Czars, they brought their dogs out the third day.
Okay. What at this point, let me ask you this, if something you've considered, you've gone out on a lot of searches, you've done aerial searches. I know that. Have any of those, and this goes for you too, Nina, have any of them been filmed?
Filmed?
Yeah. And there's a reason I'm asking this, and I'll tell you why in like 2 seconds, but there's a reason I'm asking this.
I think Nina filmed me in the helicopter a little bit. So we had a wonderful gentleman who, had been hearing about the case, actually, goes to one of the churches in New Braunfels. And man, God just laid it on his heart. I gotta do something. And contacted me, and almost immediately we were just like, yes, we definitely could use that. And you know, I know it's a luxury, but it was. He's an amazing pilot, and just amazing capabilities of searching a massive amount of area. I mean, we searched all the way in, even the people at Naval Air Base down here, which is extremely tight airspace. They allowed us, I mean, literally on their shoreline all the way around the base. Even at one point we had to sit down and wait for some planes to move. And so we actually sat down on their tarmac, which is unheard of. And they were tracking us the whole time. So we were able to stay under 300 feet. And I think Nina and Tony will tell you, they were shocked at some of the stuff that we were doing, because we were, you know, we would be 5 feet off the ground, you know, looking at a homeless camp, looking at whatever we saw. If we saw anything that was remotely colored, the colors that we were looking at, I mean, we were on the ground. I mean, we were all over the place. And it is it's an amazing piece of equipment, and we just really appreciated that gentleman for donating the time to come out and help us. So I think we were in the air for 3 days, I think 12 hours.
Well, 5 feet off the ground, that's that's low.
Justin, that man was remarkable.
Yeah, that
heck of a pilot.
It gets crazier than 5 feet off the ground. There were several times that we felt the limbs hit the bottom of the helicopter.
Wow.
So that's he's either crazy or skilled or both.
He's very skilled. Never once, I never felt in danger at all. Just an amazing pilot. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say there's a couple that I do have filmed.
Oh, good.
Okay. Here's the reason, and real quick, I'll probably tell you why I asked. I think going back to the crazy or skilled, I think for pilots, it's always a little bit of both. And I say this based on the fact that my father was a carrier-based naval fighter pilot, and his nickname was Fast Eddie because he flew, I forget how fast, like 700 miles an hour at like 50 or 100 feet off the ground. And he apparently didn't realize he was that low. So, yeah, they're a little crazy, but they're also very skilled. So, yeah. You know, thank God you have really, really good pilots out there. But here's why I'm asking this. And I think I talked to you guys a little bit about this on the phone the first time that we talked, at least you and I, Tony. So I'm in Nashville where you've had the search for Sebastian Rogers going on and you had Riley Strain prior to that. And Nina, I don't know if you guys have a YouTube channel that you do for Search and Rescue San Antonio, but the reason I'm asking is, if you wanted to download the searches and upload them, I should say, to YouTube, people have a tendency to like those. And plus it puts another, you know, 100+ sets of eyes on it.
Okay.
I know that when we were doing Caleb Harris, Jonathan Lee Riches was live streaming it. The days that I went out, I live streamed it. And those lives had like 5,000 to 7,000 people, both on YouTube and on TikTok, because they were both different platforms. And then afterwards for TikTok, I uploaded it and it still did very well on YouTube. And I'm just saying that because, you know, when we're trying to keep it in the public eye, it gives people kind of an idea, not for, you know, everything, but just something for you to keep in the back of your mind if that's something y'all decide you might want to do.
I've done a couple of my searches, gone live for a little while, but the biggest thing for me when I'm out searching, it's super hard to be on live because I need to be paying attention to my surroundings. So I have a couple, and we have a YouTube channel that I just need to get off the ground. I mean, I can put them up there for the family or whoever wants to watch them. But yeah, I think there's like three.
Yeah. And if you want to, if you need help with the YouTube channel, let me know. If you need help promoting it, let me know. And I'll be happy to do that. Cause the goal is just to keep, you know, Caleb and everybody's attention.
Thank you.
That's what we want to do. What else that you guys want to tell the people? Cause I don't want to overstep and ask about law enforcement too much, what they've been doing. Cause I know that there's only so much you can tell in regard to the investigation. Actually, you know what, let me ask you this. We're in 2024. There's probably, I would imagine, at least some Ring cameras, surveillance cameras, something around there. Obviously, they didn't catch anything of Caleb, because you would know that at this point. Do you know if they've caught any like weird vehicles or anything like that that were coming around? Because, you know, 3 a.m., I mean, it is a college, you know, area, so you know that people are going to come and go at weird hours. But have they seen anything that they've told you about that seems weird or off that they caught on somebody's camera? That you're allowed to say?
Well, I think they have, yes. But even in those scenarios, they brought the family in for some interviews and things like that. And after that, I met with the police chiefs and the investigators, and I went and watched some video of certain areas around the apartments where, you know, there was, you know, some video surveillance of people walking about that same time, but none of which were Caleb. And then, you know, he's easy. I mean, I'm his father. I know his stance. I know how he walks. And you know, there was some video capture of people. What we don't know is what we don't know. I mean, we feel like there is video probably out there. Yes. Have they captured that? We hope that they have, and we hope that they're finding some leads.
Okay.
So Justin, we had a long conversation about law enforcement before we got on tonight. And here's what I'll tell you. There's a couple of reasons that Randy brought me in. One of the reasons he brought me in is that he trusts me. The other reason he brought me in is that he's a very, very good cop. And he doesn't have the ability to be a bad cop. He's a nice guy. He's a dad. He's a big teddy bear. Me, not so much. And so a lot of the people that we work with have sent me texts and asked me questions like, when are you going to start being you? Well, tomorrow we have a meeting with law enforcement. And if we don't get some answers and we don't feel like that they're making progress, then they're going to get to see me be me. And we were blessed to get to talk to Gabby Petito's father, Joe, last night because of the contact you gave us and setting that up. And we're very grateful for that. But one of the things that I learned when we talked to Joe and I watched that case is that you have to hold these guys accountable. And trust me when I tell you, we have no problem holding them accountable. And tomorrow's going to be a big, big day for those guys.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I know. I know that you guys did. I'm going to try to be very cryptic on this because I don't know what I'm allowed to say. I know that you all did an interview today with a larger outlet. Are you allowed to say talk about that and say when you're going to be on for people to be able to catch that?
It's pretty much already posted.
Talking about News Nation.
Okay. News Nation.
Yeah.
Yes, we were on with News Nation today. We'll also be on with Fox and Friends tomorrow morning around 7:15 Central, which we're excited about that. I mean, we desperately need the national media, which you're giving us as well. But we need some bulldogs. You know, we need some very national figures to come in and just help us. You know, give us some help. That's holding everybody accountable and doing the things that it takes to run a case like this. And Tony's done a phenomenal job helping me, but we need the A-teams now.
Yeah.
We're
definitely not interested in B and C team reporters anymore. I hope that, you know, we have to learn how to frame interview denials the right way, as you well know. We got a lot of the B and C team guys to start, and it kind of diminished the value of the case, especially with what was going on with Riley and some of these other things. And, you know, Riley got Brian Enton and Good Morning America and some of these guys very early. We were doing interviews with a lot of local guys, a lot of people that were trying to get a start, and you know, those are out there now. So we're
very thankful for those too. Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
hugely thankful.
We had to get that going to get to that next level. And that's where we're at now. We need that next level.
And you know, what we found is that those people did a great job of getting the word out locally and some of them even regionally, but we need a larger reach than that now because we truly don't know where he's at. And, you know, we've had two or three people in the last day that we agreed to do interviews with, had one that we didn't, and we explained to her why. And you know, quite honestly, she was really understanding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, she agreed.
Well, Brian Enton is great. You guys talked to him, so you know, and Fox and Friends is also great. Because social media is great, you know, it's wonderful to get this stuff out there and you can keep a lot of engagement and update people instantaneously. But there's a lot of people who don't follow this type of stuff on social media, and with News Nation and with Fox and Friends, you're hitting that demographic, and I think that's awesome. Because I'm pretty sure Joe knows them. Did he suggest the possibility of like Nancy Grace? Because you want a bulldog, that woman's a bulldog.
We've had her.
We have had her, and she's been updating some things, and we've got a connection there. And really, yes, we would absolutely welcome her to pick this up and run with it, run hard. I think she'd be great. Brian Enton would be great. You know, even John Walsh is starting up his new TV show. That would be great. That's the kind of horsepower that we feel like we really need in this case to make it a nationwide case so that people nationwide, worldwide at this point, can know what's going on. I mean, we have other social media platforms like LinkedIn that we're getting prayer requests. We're getting, you know, people from all over the world because I do have a big presence there, but nothing like what you and what the TikTok community can provide, and as well as the national media. And that's, I think that's where we're at to 100%.
Yeah, I agree with you.
We also, you know, Justin, we don't just want Nancy Grace to do a story. We don't want just Brian Enton to do a story. We want what they had in the Gabby case and the Moscow case. We want those guys on the ground here. You know, that's I know that's a big ask, but and those, you know, the Gabby case happened at a time where, you know, like you said, it was during COVID. There wasn't a whole lot going on in the world, and it was something for everybody to latch on to. The Moscow case was such a big deal and so many kids involved that it just took everything over. But, you know, we'd like to have Nancy or Brian or somebody like that here on the ground. And, you know, we feel like that's what it's going to take to get the real push we're looking for.
So I know you mentioned John Walsh. I don't know if you mentioned that to Joe, but Joe does know John Walsh as well.
Okay.
So he could probably put you in contact with him. Just saying, and you know, he would do it in a heartbeat, I believe. So just keep that in the back of your mind. And people are saying something on here too. Basically say, everyone said, I'm going to pin this real quick. Yeah. So y'all, what I'll do is after I get off this live on my Instagram, I'll go post Caleb's flyer with the reward on it. And y'all can go pull that off my Instagram. I'll go post on Instagram and Twitter or X, and y'all can go pull it off and share it on your social media, you know, everywhere you can. Get his face out there, no matter where you are, even if you're nowhere near, you know, Texas, you know, you might share it to somebody who shares it to somebody who knows something. You just really never know. That's the power of social media. So I'll put that up there when we get off the live, but definitely do that to get that out there for them. I think that's super important. And then somebody else is saying, which I agree to, and I might be able to, I might have a connection here too, but Court TV also is a great outlet. Have you guys reached out to them at all, or have you thought about that?
Not yet. I've got a list of about 7 to 8 people that, people like that, people that are part of the true crime community that, you know, that have a big YouTube presence, podcasters and people I started following during the Moscow case. So mm-hmm. those people are on the list. Obviously, we're trying to create national awareness. At the same time, we're not investigating, but we're still following up on a lot of our own leads and doing a lot of that ourselves, getting flyers printed ourselves. I mean, you know, we've got Nina out there doing her thing with the searching, but you know, everything else that has to be done here in Corpus. I mean, it's the two of us right now by design, but I mean, it keeps us busy.
Well, we're additionally tomorrow with the help of Nina, and then we're reaching out to the college students through the Baptist Student Union as well. There's about 200 kids that are involved there that they get a free lunch every Wednesday, and we're going to hopefully I can get over there and talk to them tomorrow. And then a couple of the local churches have gotten involved where they have college and career age people that are out there. And so we're also would like to engage as much as we can with the homeless community because they see stuff, you know, we strongly feel like he's not in Corpus anymore. We strongly feel like he is somewhere. We strongly feel like he's alive. He's just been taken and vanished, whatever it is. It definitely just didn't walk away because there's no signs of that. So we're pushing really hard to get that ground game going and you know get it out of Corpus as well. You know, San Antonio, Austin, Dallas, Houston, and beyond because we just don't know. We even have some law enforcement in South Texas, Brownsville, in that area that are also jumping on board with the brochure with the flyers and. Going to try to help get some feedback out there going, you know, maybe going into Mexico. So they're converting it into Spanish and just see what kind of play we can get on it down there. We're so close to Mexico. That's another big fear.
It's all right, Randy. I have a connection at Crime TV. I did a special episode of Killer Cases for the first case that I ever did. So I still have that producer's name and stuff. So I'm going to reach out to her as well.
Okay, that'd be great.
And I have another creator who does a lot of on-screen work with Court TV. So I'll reach out to her tomorrow too and see if we can do that. The other thing I'll mention, there is a YouTube creator by the like strictly YouTube name. It's the Pascal Show. I don't know if you've seen it or heard it. He did pick up Caleb's story today. I actually talked to him earlier today. He and I are actually really, really good friends outside of the whole social media world. So if that's somebody you'd want to talk to, he's very, very respectful, handles things that way. His YouTube following, I think, is like 117,000, which, you know, that's the equivalent of a few million on TikTok. So when you look at that conversion. So if there's anybody like that that we can help you get in front of, I mean, don't hesitate. On top of that, as I'm sure Nina, you know, can kind of attest to, the way TikTok works is, you know, you become mutuals with some people and you can say, hey, I really need you to kind of cover this story. And so there's a few creators that I've talked to in the last couple of days about you guys that they don't necessarily need to talk to you, but they can go talk about your story, talk about Caleb. And I think they're waiting till tonight's live to see all the latest information to do that. So we can do that too. The goal is there's a couple of cases out there, a couple of stories out there that really, really need to be blown up. And I would say out of all of them, yours is the top priority of that.
It's just so unique and so different, you know, for him to just vanish. It's that shouldn't happen in today's technological world of cameras and videos and social media. It just shouldn't happen.
And I'll say this, Justin, as a parent of a college kid myself, you know, you go look at the environment at the cottages. This is a nice place. This is a place that's supposed to be gated. It's supposed to have security cameras, which none of them, by the way, work. The gates left open at night. There's a lot of things, but none of that really matters here, because if Caleb wanted to leave the complex and go walking around, security cameras in the complex, he would have still been able to open the gate. So, you know, we're not blaming them for any of that. But as I come down here and look at the way Randy set his kid up, I mean, if my son's roommates were his son's roommates, I would be blessed. These kids are phenomenal kids. This place is nice. The apartment's nice. You know, nice yard areas, nice swimming pool. I mean, you know, as parents, Randy and Becky, they set their kid up for success. They set him up in a safe environment in their mind. And you know, there's nothing that says, you know, maybe you should have done this different, or maybe you should have done that different. I mean, Nina can tell you the cottages. I mean, if I'd have been in school, you know, I had a dorm in Stephenville, Texas, and it looked like a penitentiary. I mean, these places are nice, you know? So,
yeah.
I mean, when you add all that into what we know, it makes even less sense. I mean, it's not like he put his kid in a sketchy part of town, you know?
Yeah, we're only not even a mile from the college. And the college, if you go look it up, it's a beautiful campus. It's on an island. We're called the Islanders, even though it's part of the Texas A&M system. And it's just a beautiful campus. And, you know, for a kid like Caleb and a lot of his friends, you know, it's a playground for being outdoors, whether you're, you know, a windsurfer, a sailor, a fisherman, a duck hunter. It's everything's available to be outside. And that's what's really neat about the community that we're in here. Now that I've been down here for so long, you know, you see people everywhere. Lots of people just out walking, riding their bikes with kids. It is a good place, and the school is a very, very, very good school. We have even some of his friends started as freshmen, went on to other schools, and have ended up back here, you know, to finish out their college. So, yeah, you just don't expect this as a parent. It's the worst nightmare we can possibly imagine. And, you know, my wife and my daughter and again, all of my family, you know, they've been here searching, they've been here doing things that you just don't ever expect a parent to have to do. And that's hard, but you know.
And you know, Randy looks tired. He is tired. He looks frustrated.
I'm sure.
You know, he looks frustrated. He is frustrated. He looks angry. He's angry. He's all of that. I mean, you know, he's tried so long to put on a good face for the public and be strong and be a good dad, a good husband. But, you know, if we don't get some level of communication or something tomorrow from law enforcement, then, you know, the frustration he has and that his wife has and everything else, I mean, these guys are going to feel it come tomorrow.
Let me say something real quick.
Yeah, Go ahead.
Sorry, Dustin. Just from a search and rescue group's point of view, Randy and Tony have been excellent. This case has been, they've given us everything they could possibly give us. They participated in everything, you know, that we needed. We participated with them. If they call and say, hey, I need you to go check this out. Can you stop and go do this? Can you go do this? Absolutely. There's no issue. But I will tell everybody, Caleb has become a part of all of our family. I hurt because I see them hurt. I'm exhausted because I've been out there 10, 12 hours a day with everybody else trying to help this family. And I refuse to give up. I just totally refuse to give up. We're just going to go with however they want us to go, however they want us to flow. And we're going to continue to look for Caleb.
Yeah. And I want to make sure that people get you guys all the resources that you need. And I do want to say something real quick, going back to what you said a second ago about the school. And you said, you know, where you set him up, you weren't going to blame them. I'm going to go ahead and say this for you. You set him up in a place that you thought was gated and had working cameras. So you don't have to say anything. And I know obviously it's not their fault that he's missing, but it is their fault that they didn't have their cameras working and their gate shut, which is what was sold to you to rent there. And I think that is unacceptable. Just my opinion. And the other thing that I want to say is, yeah, you guys, I've talked to Tony and I've talked to Randy. And Randy really is just the nicest guy. And I told him that he, you know, your kid's missing. You don't have to be nice to people. And he's still nice. He's still nice to people. So he really is. And he deserves to have this story out there. He deserves to have answers as to where his child is. I mean, every parent who is missing a child deserves those answers. Every single one. That's, let me ask you about the college. Has the college helped you guys with anything? How have they been in regard to this?
A couple of different things. One, the kids came out in full force. It was right before spring break. So we had a lot of kids come out. There was the second day in, so many of his friends are from New Braunfels. So there was a citywide prayer session. And then those kids were here, you know, with, you know, when prayer session Wednesday morning, and then it was like a caravan coming down. So as far as the college goes, the dean, the president, all reached out to us, came to the apartments. They have kids the same age as well. So there's definitely some heart strings there that, you know, they really, you know, have reached out, and they're helping the kids, the core kids that have, you know, like the roommates and some of the other kids that were part of the search and close family friends. I believe they are helping them with their professors to, you know, kind of give them a break, you know, because their friend is missing, and it's been hard on these kids. These kids are going through something that they should never, ever have to go through.
I will tell you, Justin, and what you got the nice teddy bear response there again.
That's who he is.
Yeah, and that's why we love him. But, you know, the truth is that I'm a little frustrated. We've talked about it. I've talked about it with the Facebook group. I've talked about it with Nina. And I've talked about it with Randy in private. Don't feel like we're getting the support from the student body and the kids at the college that my son would be getting at the University of Arkansas. You know, they had somebody there that was missing for a few hours, and I think there was about 10,000 people deep until they found her. And, you know, I just, I'm a little disappointed as to the support of the student body as a whole. I asked Randy a question today. I said, I know, you know, Randy, you're the eternal, prayer and you're strong in your faith. And I said, you know, does it hurt a little bit to walk by and see that these people are out here hanging by the pool and going on with life? And Randy looked at me and said, yeah, you know, it does. We just feel like that other than his close friends that, you know, there hadn't been an outpouring of support, not from the college, but even the Corpus Christi community. I mean, you know, if we go in and we talk to a business owner that might have some camera footage, we talked to some great ladies today, and not only did they come in and show us some footage, but they called us back later, told us they thought they might have found something else. So if you approach people, they're nice. I give the city a little bit more of a crutch than I give the college. because the city has had a lot of people go missing here in the last year for different reasons. But the college, I mean, you know, these kids have to understand that this was a normal college kid. This kid was no different than any of those kids that were hanging out by the pool over there at the apartments today. And, you know, if you think because you're a 21-year-old white kid, a boy, that you're bulletproof, I mean, you know, this could happen to any of them. So, you know, we are doing some things to stimulate that, you know, Baptist Student Union, some of the local churches that the college kids go to. But, you know, what we would like to see is we would like to see the university lead a charge with the student body to get them plugged in. And we're not seeing that.
Well, I will, you know, I'm going to say this. We've had about 1,000 people in here on TikTok. It's been about 1,200 on this live and people come in and out. If you're watching this, you know, if you guys wanted to make a phone call to, you know, the school on their behalf, I don't think anybody would stop you to, you know, demand a little bit more, you know, more action and accountability from them. Because, you know, I think that when, obviously we know that things happen, nothing's bulletproof, but I think that when you go to a school, there's a little bit of a responsibility there to try to stay safe, you know, within reason. And he might've lived in an off-campus apartment, but he was still within the campus vicinity. And so I think that you have, people asking the school, it's Texas A&M Corpus Christi is the school.
Texas A&M Corpus Christi. And you know, even the apartments are predominantly all students. I mean, it is an open apartment, but it's geared towards the students, and it's right next to other apartments that are considered, you know, college apartments. They have some that are apartments that are they're considered dorms, but they're apartments for upperclassmen. And then where Caleb is, it's predominantly geared towards college kids. It really is. I mean, even the way we pay our bills is geared towards college kids, you know.
And if I could say something real quick, I mean, I understand that these kids have school and they're doing different things, but we're searching from morning till night. I don't expect anybody to come out and search that whole entire time with the core group we have, about 10 of us. But if you can give me an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, I'm there to direct you and help you for what you're looking for, what we're out there for. I can teach you every step of the way while we're out there. So it's not like you have to have some kind of certification right off the bat to start searching. You don't.
And with that said, Nina, somebody did ask earlier, so I was going to come back to it, but I think that's a really good segue into it. People who are in your area, there was somebody said specifically, if we're in the San Antonio area and we want to come out and help or do this, and I know we talked about this a little bit earlier, how do people get in touch with you to do that? Just through your TikTok, or what's best for
them?
They can
either my TikTok, my Facebook is my name, Nina Glass. They can reach out to me on Instagram at Search and Rescue SATX. I post every day or every night where we're going to meet for the search for the next day. Even if it's just we're going to spend the day talking to the homeless or spend the day passing out flyers, it's always posted where we're going to meet.
And that's on your Facebook page, your personal one?
That's on Missing Talk of Caleb Harris's page.
Okay, Missing. Okay, so you guys heard that Talk of Caleb Harris, or Missing. The Facebook page for Caleb, Missing Find Caleb Harris. I can't speak today. Sorry.
Missing Talk of Caleb Harris.
Missing Talk of Caleb Harris. Thank you.
We're getting ready to meet a lot more volunteers too, because we're going to have, we've got a little project here within a mile radius of the apartment as far as the new reward flyers go that we talked to Nina about today. But as we go, as we start keeping her closer to home in San Antonio and we start blanketing that area, I mean, that's a big area. So, you know, if we had 500 volunteers, she could keep them all busy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you would hope and think that, you know, you could get 500 people to come together to, you know, to come look for a missing kid. You know, you would hope that should be a fairly easy thing to do. I guess it's easier said than done, but.
Right. Unfortunately, it hasn't been very easy. There's been days that there was only 3 or 4 of us out there, but we continue to move on and keep forward and do what we do. And keeping his name in the limelight may help us get more volunteers. We got to keep him out there.
A lot of the hard part, even for Nina, is, you know, because we don't, you know, it's like a compass rose. We don't have true north, and everybody's right. Searching for true north. So there's been hundreds upon hundreds of people that that want to help, calling constantly, you know, hey, what can I do? What can I do? And unfortunately, we haven't been able to really give them a direction. And that's hard, because where do you go? If you don't have true north, you just don't know. I mean, and so that's been a tough, so I mean, that's what we focused on, the basics with Nina and with all the search groups, is you got to start at ground zero and work your way out. And that's what we've done. And that's kind of where, you know, we've got to do the same thing again, especially right here in Corpus. Tomorrow is, you know, because somebody knows something in Corpus. There's got to be
100% somebody
that knows something.
Absolutely.
That reward flyer has got to go out in Corpus first. But even today, you know, I've got family and friends that are already doing stuff in New Braunfels, doing stuff in San Antonio and other areas of the state, between lots of family and friends. And we just got to keep that momentum going. And again, keeping Caleb in the light.
I agree. And so I know that you guys had, I know y'all want to do about an hour, and I know I've gone over that a little bit. So I want to be cognizant of your time, because Randy, I know you're not sleeping. I know that you're exhausted.
No, we're fine. So it doesn't matter. It was not about us at all. It's not about us. It's about finding Caleb. And that's,
it is about finding him.
Number one priority. And you know, we're again, steadfast in our faith. And we just know that, you know, we're going to find him, and he's somewhere. And, you know, we're hoping and praying that he's safe, and you know, we're just going to find him, and may not be here in Corpus. It may be some other place, and somebody's going to see him and go, wow, hey, that's the kid. We need to, you know, and call 911. Call your local 911. If anybody sees him, this has happened a lot. People will see what they think might be him. And, you know, even the other night, you know, I went home for Easter, and, you know, somebody thought that they saw him up in the Austin area. And I mean, I'm in the truck running, you know, to meet the police, but we called 911, local 911, and they were able to go out and not apprehend, but find this person that looked like Caleb, and, you know, get a picture of him and send it to me. And I verified it wasn't him. And that does happen a lot in other cities. And that's why we got to keep his face out there.
Yeah, absolutely. So, what I want to tell people as you're watching this is, again, it's expensive to fund a search like this. It's expensive, as you can see. They got a 50,000 reward up. And again, I'll put that again on my Instagram after this. Anybody wants to grab it, share it on their social media. If you are a content creator, share it on yours and you want to do the story. But between the people here, between the people on TikTok, however many are on Instagram and the other channels we're streaming on, if everybody just donated $1, the people that are streaming, that would make a huge difference. And it's really nothing to do that. Just, you know, just $1, because this is legit. It is verified that this is, the money is going to them and to help with the search effort. So please, you know, do that for sure. Again, I see people still kind of asking, what can you do to help in your area? Nina posts, or Nina was saying on the Facebook page, the missing talk of Caleb Harris page. I get that one right, Nina?
Yep.
Okay. On that page is where she posts every day where she's going to be. So if you want to go there, you can go to that page and sign up for a search or get more information on where you can search. You can hear what they're saying. They need more boots on the ground. Texas is a big state. It's a big search area. They need more than four people out there searching.
Yes. Absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome. It's just, you know, help if you can. Other than that, what else do you want to tell people, Randy, before we wrap up?
Well, I'm going to definitely say thank you. Thank you to everybody that's out there working so hard behind the scenes. Of course, prayers from around the world. And also thank you to my family. You know, they're hurting and struggling, but, you know, they're giving me the power to continue.
I know that that Mother's Day is coming up, and it's, you know, it's going to probably be tough because it's not around the corner. If he's still not found by then, what can we do for your wife for Mother's Day? I'm serious on that. We're doing it for Riley Strange's mom. I'm happy to, you know.
That's a tough one, because she's such a rock and just an incredible, wonderful lady. And You know, my daughter just turned 17 last week, and we had just an overflowing amount of people that, you know, sent her flowers and you know, cheesecakes and, you know, all kinds of stuff that we weren't prepared for because, you know, we're focused on Caleb, you know. And so, you know, my wife's very humble as well. And so, you know, for her to know that people are continuing to search and continuing to pray and to be steadfast, that's what she needs to see.
Okay. Well, we can talk a little bit more offline about that as we get closer, but hopefully it's not an issue and you guys find him before Absolutely. That, you know, well before that. Yesterday.
Yeah.
Justin, I'm going to tell you something else that we need to. So not something that we can discuss. You and I have talked a little about it offline, but, you know, we've got probably our best lead in 4 weeks came Sunday. And it came by the way of somebody figuring out that I had some connection to the dad and messaging me. But I want to tell you, before that happened, they had reached out to the tip line. They had left a message. And the tip line said, "We'll take your information. We'll pass it on." Never called them back. So they went a couple other avenues that didn't work. And they reached out to me on Sunday. And I can tell you it was a big enough deal. And again, it's not public and won't be for a while. But it was a big enough deal that I left my family on Eastern Oklahoma and drove all the way to Waco. Got in about 2:30 in the morning and then drove on down here the next day so him and I could jump on top of it. So my point in all that is to say this: if you're out there and you have a tip that you believe in, you don't feel like that you're getting the friendliness or the response from the tip line or whatever. I mean, look, we've got a great team of admins and moderators on the Facebook page. I would rather, if you have a tip that you believe is super serious or super hot, call 911.
911.
I would also rather you send it to the, you know, message me on TikTok. You know, send it to me on TikTok if you don't feel comfortable or you're not getting results from the tip line. But, you know, we have to literally vet and research every tip because, you know, when you have nothing that you're sure of, everything is important.
And you still have Crime Stoppers out there as well. I mean, that's anonymous and they will take your tips. But, you know, on our tip line with where the reward is there, that is manned. And it definitely, if you don't get a result, try and try and try again, because eventually they're going to do something or we need to know about it, and we will follow up for sure. And with them, I mean, if we get a legitimate, I mean, police chief's been good about that. If I have a legitimate a lead or something that I'm concerned about, the police chief does call me back and they do follow up. And so it's important that we do the right thing, especially if there's, you know, something that is evidence, don't touch it. Call 911 so they can come out and do the right thing.
And when we talk to those guys tomorrow, Justin, we are, you know, one of the things at the top of my list is to talk to them about how this tip got brushed aside. I mean,
I think you should.
It makes no sense.
And I want to add to that, and I'm gonna throw some people who I sure won't mind. And that at the same time, if you guys do have a tip, obviously, like they say, call 911. You can reach out to, and I will, you know, again, their primary social media that you're going to get to them the fastest, to Tony and Randy, is going to find Hit Caleb Harris on TikTok. Please go follow that account to stay up to date. But you can also reach out to me. I'm quite sure Nina would have no issues if you reached out to her. I know that Cindy, who is still hanging out backstage with 716 girl in ATL, she would have no problem if you reach out to her. Just, you know, wherever you need to get, if you have something that is legit, blast it, because they need to find their kid. The other thing that I'm going to say that y'all can't say, but I can, is I've not seen a single press conference for Caleb. from the police? I've not seen really much of anything. Okay, go ahead.
There's been one.
When was that?
It was about 3 days ago, actually.
Well, what they're okay. Corpus Christi Police Department has a blogger. A blog. It's CCPD blog. And they've done actually two statements in that blog. And they called me ahead of time and said, hey, just be prepared. We are doing this blog. And they told me they were doing it ahead of time. So they have done it. There has not been a podium type press conference. No.
It's been a digital
press conference. Well, that's what you need.
Yeah.
You need a podium type one. So you need a podium one because that draws attention. So what I would also encourage y'all to do, be Caleb's army, call the Corpus Christi PD and demand a press conference. You know, the thing about social media, y'all, is pressure works. It does.
Yeah.
Call them. I'll call tomorrow. I'll call first thing tomorrow. I'll do it for you.
That'd be great. That's what we need. That's what we need. We really do. We need, because as a family, we haven't been able to, I can tell you some things that we have done that's unconventional and literally going in and knocking on city manager's home door. My father-in-law and brother-in-law did that right off the bat and it made a difference. I mean, it was an immediate response and, he's got kids same age. And so, that's the kind of pressure we need, but we can't do it as a family. It's just too much. I mean, we need people like yourself and like Nina and like Tony and Nancy Grace and Cindy. And we need some help desperately to get the word out there and get the pressure up, build the pressure up so that we get, we find him. We need to find him.
Yeah, and I just want to point out too, for anybody who's doubting, like, well, me calling that won't do anything, bear in mind that Gabby Petito was found by social media. That's how she was found. Riley Strain was found through the community, not from the police, not from any search organization. And that's no disrespect to you, Nina, obviously. I know you're doing great.
I understand.
But they were found by, he was found by the community. So, don't think that just because you're one person watching a live or even if you're watching this after the fact, listening to it, that your voice doesn't matter. It does, because they get to a point where they're like, we have to do something to shut these people up. I mean, that's right. Just what it is. And they will do it to shut everybody up.
And my biggest thing right now is I don't have to be the one to find him. I want somebody to find him. Somebody needs to find him and bring him home to his family. So it doesn't have to be me. If you've got a few minutes and you want to go look at a location, go look at it. Go out there and look at it. Pay attention to detail. Look for different, scraps of fabric, different things that we're looking for out there. His phone, we haven't found. So these are just little details that people, if they call and say, hey, have you looked in this ditch? And I'm like, no, we haven't had time. Can you go look in that ditch for us? Those types of things need to be done too.
Yeah. Out of curiosity, because I don't know if I've seen it, maybe I missed it. Do y'all have any idea what he was wearing when he went missing?
We have a pretty good idea. He had a cap on, not the one you see in the picture there. That's one of his favorites, but that one we do have. Just kind of a beige cap. It may have been a Howler brand cap, which is a fishing outdoor company. He had I'm pretty sure it's a Howler brand white button down shirt, short sleeve. The plans were for him to have, he's going to be be in Alaska this summer, with a job. And so, we were starting to buy some better clothes, like some Sims style, fishing pants, that'll be a little more rugged for where he's going to be this summer. But he was going to be working for the city of, up there. And, that's what he had on. We are 99.9% sure he did not have shoes on, because he's a size 13, and we've accounted for what we feel like all of his shoes, because my wonderful wife tends to buy those for him and his Nana.
So there you go. That's what he was wearing. And somebody just said the phone that's missing, it's a black iPhone 12. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So that's what you're looking for. And I posted this up here, please. Again, call, Corpus Christi Police Department, call the university, demand more action, because that's it. It does work. It really does. before we close off tonight, the other thing I want to say is that, you know, you guys have my platform at your disposal. Anything that you need, just name it, time, place, we will make it happen. You know, I want to make sure that you guys get the reach that you need for all
Thank
of this.
You. Thank you.
And at the same time, like I said, if there's any YouTubers or anything, or, you know, I know Nina's got a lot of connections. I got a lot of connections. I'm positive Cindy does too, because I know she worked, you know, in that industry for a while. But yeah, anything that we can do to help you get it up to every, any and every platform. I know Pascal would definitely host you guys for sure. And we're going to have some other social media creators. Yeah, y'all can discuss about that offline. Just let me know. But, you know, we'll have some other social media creators start talking about it. We're going to get his picture plastered everywhere. That's the goal.
That'd be great. That'd be great. If you need more pictures, I've got more pictures. So anything I can send you, just let me know. I mean, we got a lot of fishing pictures, but I got a lot more pictures than that.
Well, y'all send me everything you want. And I'll put it up. How's that?
It'd be great. Yes, sir.
Justin, can you do us a favor before we call it a night? Can you bring Cindy back up on the screen? Because obviously
she's absolutely
connected. And would you mind if Randy said a prayer for us before we call it a night?
Yeah, I absolutely don't mind at all.
Oh, thank you. Dear Lord, we just thank you for this wonderful platform that we're able to be a part of. And we thank you for everybody that has been helping, and Lord, we just know that you know Caleb knows you, and we pray that he's recalling scripture wherever he is, and I just ask that you give some peace to not only Caleb but our family and all the volunteers, that we know that you can move mountains, and we believe that, and we know that we're going to glorify you no matter what in this situation. And we just ask all these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 All right. Well, thank you all. Thank you guys for everything that you're doing. Cindy, I know you've been kind of just sitting backstage the whole time. Anything you want to say before we...
Nope. I just appreciate you all. And, you know, let's go find Caleb together. Let's go find him.
Absolutely. And lastly, again, I know I've said it a few times, make sure to go on TikTok, follow the Find Caleb Harris TikTok page. That is the best way. That is ran by Randy and Tony. And also the GoFundMe is there. And like I said, if everybody just were to donate $1, that would help, you know, help fund the search. It could help, you know, Nina's page. That could help her, you know, have a few more nights there where she doesn't have to go run back home. Just anything that y'all can do that can help.
Yeah. Thank y'all so much. Thank you.
All right. Thank you,
everyone.
All right. We are.